This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Start. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to a brand new episode of the podcast. I'm the host of this here podcast, the Ted Smith. Greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Buzzing in all the way from Austin. The only guy down there with a boat. Goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
I never know what you're going to say, but that one caught me off guard. What's up, boys? Let's cast.
I was talking earlier about my guy, Glennie Balls, formerly of Barstool, getting a moat. And he's like, a moakie? How do you call it? I'm like, I'm watching the video. It's like, it's a fucking moat.
Awesome. That's what people usually do to us. Anytime we're talking about something that we don't know anything about.
All right, now they're getting the studio all set up. Founded as in 8 years. Already putting down a curse word. Matt Kimer, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Good to see you, boys. I'm going to do a quick bump off my Netty stick. This is my new little addiction. It's just aromatherapy. Some essential oils in here. Clear up the sinuses.
Oh, I'm in.
Let's go. Let's go.
Full mat. We're going to shotgun some NA beers, doing whatever that nasal stuff is, just smoking weed left and right.
Dude.
Yes.
It's a lifestyle.
Also, Cobb, Matt knows how I'm going to start this podcast. We've got to start it with a massive shout out to Matt, his girl Tyler. He nonchalantly, like last week on our podcast, was like, yeah, man, like, I don't know. Instead of going to Coachella, we're just going to watch it on YouTube. Yeah. I went out Friday night, had a couple White Claws, feeling all right. I got home and I go, maybe this Matt guy's on to something. It was fucking awesome.
Really? They have good coverage?
Dude, they stream every single stage. They must have drones going or whatever. But like, seemed like the singers were almost like playing to the cameras as long with the crowd. But like, yeah, dude, Friday night I got home. What I watched Missy Elliott, and then I watched Prodigy, and then Lady Gaga, who absolutely dominated. Like, I gotta go to a Gaga show. It was unreal. And then Saturday, big shout out to everybody who came out to the men's room event. But I mean, I was telling people all day long. Like, that's what me and Sean did. Like, we went to the event, we went to a bar, and by like, I think I started texting you guys like 9:30, 10. I was like, we gotta get home and watch Coachella.
Yeah, man, I've seen Lady Gaga live and she is an excellent performer. I feel like it is a big shout out to Matt, because I thought about watching Coachella like 3 different times this weekend. I was like, maybe I should throw her on. I didn't, but like this coming weekend I likely will.
Got another chance. Yeah.
Yeah, trust me. If you're listening to this and you didn't watch it last weekend, watch it this weekend, dude. Like I'm telling you, they do a really good job. The only bad thing is I've realized, I guess out there in those polo grounds, there is definitely not a cutoff time. I mean, Travis Scott on Saturday, he was supposed to be on a, what, 11:10, 11:20? He did not make it out for a while.
Yeah, they make such an economic impact on that part of town that I think it's just like whatever they say goes. And actually, I believe they bought the Polo Grounds too. So now, like, they're, you know, they're running shit.
They did, and it's a nine-figure economic boom to the area. I can't remember the exact number, but I read it in an article like last week or something.
Yeah, it's massive. Yeah, and to buy the whole, I mean, the Polo Grounds, Ted, are huge, and they are in the center of, you know, three very nice neighborhoods, and so like that's a serious parcel.
Yeah, I couldn't get over how well they did it, and then like. It's also just dope because, like I said, you just go from stage to stage to stage, which if you're there, like you could bounce around. I mean, Matt, you've been. I haven't been. It would seem pretty impossible to watch like that Prodigy set and get to Gaga on time.
Prodigy, which stage were they? Were they
Safari?
Sahara?
Or Sahara?
No, they were... No, they were Mojave, which I call the Mojave.
All right.
Just because I'm a dumbass. I think they're in the Mojave tent, which, you know, 10-minute walk, like that's kind of close to the main stage. And you'd be like walking up to see Gaga, like on the walk, you'd be able to see it and hear it. But that Sahara tent or like the Yuma tent is, you know, it's a solid 15 minutes to get across. It's a big place. The walks are much longer than I ever, you know, than you can. It's I would say it's much longer than any walk at Meltdown, even from like the old Forest stage to the main stage or the late night tent. And probably not quite as long as some of those Burning Man walks from what I've seen.
So, I mean, the Empire Polo Club is 1,000 acres.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, right. Obviously, Burning Man's different. You got to kind of plan on what you're doing. But I was saying, like, also, I'd have to imagine, like, if you're really jazzed on Gaga, you probably got to her set early. Whereas, like, you know, like, I was just Prodigy. We were watching that before that. And I was like, I would probably stay there. And just, we've just made our peace with the night. Like, we're going to watch all of this set. And then we'll be in the back for Gaga.
Yeah, that's honestly kind of how ACL works, too. It's like you got to kind of pick your poison.
The people that want to be, like, close to the front for Gaga have to make an all-day thing out of it. Like,
you just got to get up there and stay?
Yeah, and you can see it on the live stream. Like, there was, oh, what were they called? You can see, like, people that are close to the stage getting on the live stream that are pretty obviously waiting for someone else. You know what yeah. I mean? Like they got their spot and there's, I mean,
I see what you're saying, right? They're yeah. dressed different. It's like, right. Like you're dressed for an EDM show and you're at Missy Elliott.
Yeah. There was a group of K-pop fans ready for, I can't remember. N-hyphen they were called that were like, close in the Sahara tent for Shoreline Mafia, which is just like, I mean, I'd never heard of that. They're just some hard hitting, you know, new school rap. And the K-pop people waiting for N-hyphen were just kind of there waiting, but they got on one of the shots and I was like, oh, they are not there for this. So yeah, you can see it throughout the day, different places.
I thought it was funny, too. Like, I grew up with Missy Elliott, but, like, they panned to the crowd a couple times, and I'm like, those kids have no fucking idea what song this is. Yeah. And, you know what I mean? Like, she was, like, a trailblazer. It's good to see her perform. She did a great job, but I'm just like, some of these, like, I don't know. Like, if you're in your 20s, you're like, I love Missy Elliott. And it's like, you're standing there for a whole set. You really sure you do?
Yeah, Ted, I told you one of our employees who you have been to Vegas with had no idea who Missy Elliott was. And he's like mid, late 20s.
He was there. 20s.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
As far as I know. Yeah. One of our cameramen brought it up one time. We were like shooting something and he was like, who? I was like, you don't know Missy Elliott? And like the whole room, because everyone else was over 30, was just shook.
Well, and like, look, we've talked about on this podcast plenty, right? Like, I get it. It's like, oh, it's Coachella and it's Instagram people and this and that. But also, like, it just looks fun. People are having like a blast out there. It's like, I don't know. It's so easy to hate on stuff. It's like, all right, sure. It's super expensive. Would I go to it? Not sure. But it looks fucking awesome. Like, I don't think we need to hate on these people. They're having fun.
Yeah. Honestly, it looks fun as hell. The Polo Grounds, too, I got to say, are immaculate. I mean, it is a beautiful piece of property. I've told you, Ted, that we've stayed very close to there many times. And, like, I mean, it's just palm trees and beautiful grass. Like, even it could be the worst music in the world and you're going to have a good time.
Yeah. And it looked like it was hot as hell. Matt, how hot was it down there?
Friday hit 100, I think.
All right.
And it got, you know, less intense on Saturday and Sunday. But I think they got a taste of triple digits, which I would not want to be on that campground for that.
Yeah, and I get it. The stuff's going to be way overpriced, and it's kind of tough because you're in there all day. But I don't know, man. I was still just watching it, and I was like, it looks like a lot of fun. I mean, honestly, there's so many big acts at night. It would have to be something specific to get me in there during the day. I'd probably just be out in the campground, like, sipping beers, being like, all right, we'll get in there when it's time to get fired up.
Classic. Yeah.
It's definitely something that people love to hate on. I don't get it. It's not exactly my scene. Like, we had fun last year with No Doubt and Sublime and stuff. But, yeah, it's really cool when you just go and take it for the experience it is. And I didn't know 95% of the bands last year, and I wasn't particularly hyped. Like, I didn't discover any new favorites or anything. You know what I mean? But it was just like, I just kept loved walking around. Like, you're walking around a music festival in a great setting. Like, you're just going to have a good time.
I mean, I can almost guarantee you, right? Like, I'll be in Leavenworth Friday night with my buddy's family and a couple other friends. Like, right? Like, it's a big house. There's like a party room with like table games and stuff. I'm going to be like, Friday night, like 9 o'clock, but like, we're putting on the YouTube. You guys got to see this, right? Like, even if you just have it on in the background. Now, we found one problem is Saturday night. Again, the men's room event was awesome. Saw both our local guys won. Julian Juicy J won his fight there.
Oh, Cobb. My God. I saw that. Do you see that clip?
Yes.
Oh, my God. The boy has become a man. He is a beast, dude. That was honestly such a stunning, I think it's a TKO technically. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And then the fight right after that, Trace Hooper from Enumclaw, he got his W. So, like, now we're on fire, right? I'd been on stage singing Beastie Boys. Go to my buddy's local bar, and then I'm like, all right, let's go back to the house. You know, Green Day's coming up tonight. And I'm, you know me, I'm like, dude, we could smoke as much weed as we want. Well, found the problem with that. Just, I watched Green Day. My buddy fell asleep. he was back up by Travis Scott time, but he definitely, like, he would have been asleep on the grass. And I was like, he's like, I don't know if we could smoke anymore. I'm like, dude, we're not at the concert. We can smoke as much as we want, man. And then I even texted Matt Tyler, and they're like, yeah, I've been in this smoke sesh with you, dude. That's rough.
Tough to keep up.
Dude, that's what I always say, Ted. I mean, people don't realize. I see people who like are excited the first time they're partying with you, and I'm like, look, man, Ted starts off however he starts off, but he's one of the only people who gets stronger as the night goes on. That's why they call him the Coyote. Because people are kind of like ready to fade at like about 2, you know. I'm like, all right, I'm shutting it down. It's like, oh no, Ted's just getting started.
Oh, I will say, it was funny after your reception. Like, I got Big Daddy to come over for like one more White Claw, and I was like, we could make the sun. He's like, I'm not making the sun with you, dude. I was like, all right.
Big Daddy just straight up like, nah.
Right? He's like, man, I gotta get on a flight in like 4 hours. Like, I'm not staying up with you. I'm like, all right.
He was doing Bonnaroo that weekend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
and still trying to keep him up till sunrise.
Right. All right. The other thing we got to talk about. Actually, I have two things today we got to talk about. Number one, the Masters is great, right? Great ending. But everybody keeps going on and on about how it's, I'm wearing my Masters green today. on and on about how the rule of having no cell phones is great. And look at everybody living in the moment. So I even tweeted this out earlier. Like we're all adults. Like, go to a show, go to a sporting event, take your cool picture and put it away.
Yeah, that's always my move. And I'll use it as another chance 3 weeks in a row to plug Opal. $100 a year, and it cuts your social media down by, I think mine's down 80%. Yeah, living in the moment is key. I don't know what we did before cell phones, but I think people were happier or less depressed. Not sure which.
Yeah, and I know there's research on it, but it's just like, is it like, can people just not help themselves? The phone's there to like mess with it? Because I was just like, look, I agree. I think that's a really cool thing the Masters does, but like, I'm also like, we're all freaking adults. Like, I don't know. I go to shows and even I get like, don't get me wrong. Like I took pictures of Dead & Company, right? Like, it's awesome. But like some people just film and it's like, how are you enjoying it if you're just filming it the whole time?
Oh, dude, it drives me crazy. I went to Ben Bomer, who was also at Coachella like 2 weeks ago. And I'm pretty close to the front. And I'm just like, all right, it's a chill set. Like I'm just going to dial in. As soon as he's about to come out, 100 phones, just a wall of them in front of me. And like people hold them up high, you know, so they can get it. They're all just filming each other's screens at a certain point. I'm like, how about we just have one person with a high res camera, shoot a great video and send it with a QR code to whoever wants it.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I even like saw your like Instagram a video story. Will get it.
Sorry. Right. I saw like a video the other day where it's like a Ibiza like 20 years ago. And it's like some set and people are just vibing to the music. And it's like Ibiza last week. And it's like everybody's got their phone up. And it's just like, I don't know. I think it's the phone. I think it's also this thing now where it's got to be like, you got to prove either it was the greatest thing ever or this or that. And it's like, not really. Like nobody's ever been like, hey, man, I was at, you know, Notre Dame versus Tennessee. I wanted to be like, bullshit. Let me see some pictures.
Yeah. Well, and there is like a weird comparison, like status thing with it too. I mean, you're like kind of competing for likes and attention and people. I think at the end of the day, like people really want to be seen, you know, like people feel like maybe like that's not the right way to put it. It's like, I don't know. People want to be like recognized, like they have a need for, significance. That's the right word. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, so it feels more significant if like you're at a thing and you post it and like some people like it, which, you know, is a little bit sad, but I get it. We all want to be significant, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I sent pictures to Matt of me in the big hat with the screen behind me. He was like, look, I'm at Coachella in a big hat.
I got so hyped when I saw that. Like, how long did it take you to bust the noggin boss out, Ted? Like a week?
I know. Last week I was like, I'll never wear it again till the fall. And it's like, it took 4 days, dude. And you're just
the boss is back.
But also, like, it was kind of fun. Like, I turned out the lights after a while. I was like, I feel like I'm there.
Yeah, that is cool with like how good technology is now. Like it totally can feel just like immersive. I mean, that's the crazy thing about the Sphere. I can't wait till like they start doing like, you know, you go to the Sphere for like an NBA game or something and like they're just playing it from somewhere else, but it's like it feels like you're there because the screen's so massive.
Yeah. And then Matt, you're the golf guy. Is it odd that Rory and Bryson did not talk the entire round?
So I have some insider knowledge from a dude who's played the Masters. And he was like, I don't know why the media ran with that. Like,
it's not that uncommon.
Expectation that you're chatting with your playing partner on Sunday in the final pairing of the Masters. Like, I wouldn't expect them to. You're in the zone. It's you versus yourself. You got to shoot your score, not worry about what the other guy's doing. And yeah, that just got blown out of proportion.
Yeah, I just like them both. So, like, I don't know. And I get all the stuff with the Live Tour and the PGA Tour. It's like, I don't know. I like you both. Can't you at least be a little friendly?
Yeah. Like, hello, this is pretty crazy, huh? All right. See,
yeah, I just, at some point, I just feel like I would have said something to Bryson or like, whatever. And then I like they ask Bryson afterwards. They go, did you try to initiate with him? And he goes, he didn't want to talk to me. So, I mean, they already have history. Then it is the final round at Augusta. I also kind of forgot. Like, I did not realize it had been 11 years since Rory had won a major.
That was a big, big weight lifted.
Yeah. And I thought it was cool. One of the photos going around of him on all knees crying was shot by Ken Griffey Jr.
Really? Whoa.
Is he doing the same thing as the big unit, becoming a photographer?
Yeah, he's a photographer now.
I always thought that was cool out of Randy Johnson. He became a concert photographer.
Yeah, yeah. Randy Johnson's been doing that forever. What was he going to say? Drew Carey. I know he got into it years ago. I watched this whole special where, like, CBS just gave him a pass to the World Cup and were like, you're our photographer. And, like, the photos were awesome.
Whoa. That's pretty cool. And, like, Ken Griffey Jr., too. Like, you know, he's getting, like, some athletic angles. Like, that guy's a freak.
And then, boys, I know we talked about it last week. It seemed odd. I'm going to have to pull up this article. This was today on Bro Bible. 11-year-old barrel racing phenom with awesome name, Dust World Champion at $1 million rodeo. Yeah, apparently that girl, Dusky Hall, is that good.
Wow.
Wow. 11 years old, taking the barrel riding championship world by storm. Right. That's. Wait, and Ted, weren't you saying like 11-year-old shouldn't be in it? Was that you?
Yes. It does seem odd. I just can't imagine another sporting event where they were like, all right, you're up against an 11-year-old. Like any sporting event, I would feel fairly confident that, like, I'm going to dominate this kid.
Gymnastics, 14-year-olds dominate. Shout out Dominique Moceanu. It's not all about being small.
Not sports. Gymnastics, but I'm just saying if somebody said, hey, do you want to play an average 11-year-old in hoops? I suck at hoops. So I'd be like, yeah, sure, whatever. Ball in.
But like at the point I made last week, it's like if you're riding a horse, you want that tiny little jockey, you know? I mean, the horse probably knows already how to – I could be really wrong here, but it seems like the horse probably has done the barrel race before, you know? Not that the jockey doesn't make a difference, but the jockey being light certainly does.
It also just seems odd that, like, I guess the woman that won the final race is like in her 40s, and it's just like – I don't know. It's a competition, but like, how much can you really be like, oh, I'm going to wipe the floor with this kid?
Oh, dude, I got a little story for you. One of my friend's dads went down the rabbit hole of getting really good at ping pong. And to do that, you have to move up through the ranks. And to move up through the ranks, you have to win tournaments. And there's like this iconic photo of him. So at the time, 51-year-old man. Ping pong paddle standing next to a 13-year-old Asian girl who's just sobbing, and he's just giant smile holding the trophy, and it's so iconic, dude. And she's just devastated, and her parents are there, like just shame brought upon the family, and he's like, let's go. And he could not be more excited. And shout out to I don't want to say his first name, but shout out Mr. Flyberg getting it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you have some experience with it. Like, it's just odd.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, it's a hilarious photo, though, I got to say. Grown man, like full-time job, three kids, crushing a young Asian girl.
We're all the same skill level.
Yeah, they are. That's the thing. Like, you know, he had to break a few necks to get to the top.
Is that the same dude that got really good at chess and, like, called out the high school kid at, like...
No, oh my God, no. That's at the Jewish school on Mercer Island. I can tell that story if you'd like, but different guys.
Please do. Matt, have you ever heard this one?
No.
Dude, so, okay, I want to make sure.
You don't have to give too many details.
Okay, one of my employees used to go to the Jewish school on Mercer Island, and when he was there, they had a talent show, and one kid who was pretty quiet, didn't really socialize a lot, got up on stage for the talent show. It was like his big moment. Be like, I'm the guy. And he was a pretty good chess player. Now, chess players have ratings. And so he gets him on stage and he's like, okay, I will, my claim to fame is I will beat anyone in this crowd at chess. The only parent who is a grandmaster at chess stands up, takes the challenge, so petty, in front of the whole school, and wipes the floor with him in front of all of his classmates. So unnecessary, so ridiculous, but he had gone so unrecognized. And this is the thing where humans have that need to feel significant. He's like, I'm not going to let this kid claim that he's the best chess player on Mercer Island, because that's me. He's second best. And so Ted and I always laugh about that. We're like, oh, the second best chess player on Mercer Island?
Like, he just wouldn't let it go and was like, screw it, I'll play you.
Yeah, let him play anyone else in that crowd. And like, it's speed chess, you know, it's like a quick kind of like show thing. Like, let the kid get a win. Instead, confidence shattered, probably never recovered, to be honest with you. In like high school, like, that's brutal. Brutal L.
I like too that it's like a quiet kid and he's like, well, I am that good. This isn't that bold of a move. But like, yeah, I can beat anybody in this room. Okay, stick. Let's get it on.
That would honestly, now that I'm really thinking about like the ins and outs, like imagine the whole crowd just sitting there watching. Like, a lot of people know it's a grandmaster, and then he loses and he's like, okay, I guess I can't beat anyone in this crowd. Like, have a good night, everyone. You know, it's like brutal, brutal. Right.
Like, what do his parents tell him to cheer him up on the way home?
Oh, honestly, I'd be like, that other dad was a dick. Yeah. Pretty sad. So anyway, I don't know
that
why.
Would only
I know
happen.
People beating children at games, be it ping pong or chess.
Right. To me, that would only happen in like something like chess or ping pong. Like, I can't imagine like you're at a school and you're like, oh, I'm the state pitcher. I could strike out anybody in this room. And Ken Griffey Jr. is like, all right, try to strike me out. Like, he's like, no. You're a Hall of Famer. That's different.
Yeah, seriously. And like, yeah, I mean, Ken Griffey also, just aside from being a great baseball player, I mean, some people are just multi-sport. Like, he's a freak athlete across the board. You know, some people are like really good at their sport. He's just a phenom. He went to Mueller, I know, and just insane at every sport he ever played.
Yeah, I saw an interesting thing today about the NBA players. And it was like one column was NBA players that only played basketball. And when the other column was NBA players that grew up playing other sports and like multiple games, and the injury level was disparity was unbelievable. And all the dudes that had played multiple sports just don't get injured as much.
I would totally believe that. Cross training, yeah. Man. And yeah. Also just builds grit and resilience, you know? Yeah. You can play hurt, but you can't play injured.
All right. The one last question, what is protocol say? You meet somebody at a bar, they put their Instagram handle in your Instagram. Like, is that like getting a number? Is that just, oh, I'll see what you do? I'm asking for
what happened, Ted. Who is she? And what's her handle? We all want to follow her.
Well, I was pretty confident Saturday evening kicking some game. Then I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be that confident over DMs. And then my buddy's like, I was like, no, she grabbed my phone and put it in there. But I was also talking about what I do. And I was like, I don't know. Do I just slide in? Or is that like a, I don't know. What I was seeing what protocol is here.
So do you follow her too?
Yes.
And she follows you?
Correct.
Okay. I mean, it slides the door wide open for you to slide into the DMs. But I also think, you know, if you want to slow play it, you wait until she posts something worth commenting on for you. Wait till she comments on one of yours. Like, that's the long-term ritual. Right. But it could be viewed as just like, yeah, now you have a way to message me as if it were text. Like, that's a fastball. But You don't post that much on IG. I don't know how much she posts.
Mostly stories. I gave it a couple likes.
But on
hers? I noticed today. We got it. Yeah. Got a nice little bikini shot in there. I was like, all right.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Ted, I only have two questions. Are you over 40?
Yes.
Is she over 30?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Shoot your shot. Life's short. Slide into that DM, Doc.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, we could strategize this all day. We could over-intellectualize. But at the end of the day, she put her name in your phone. Like, she wants to hang or she doesn't. And it just 3-4 weeks of liking and what's that, like flirting with it. Just, you know, so we just, you guys are all about like raw dog vegetables. Just raw dog that DM.
Fire right. Just fire it in. Yep.
Send her a now, tonight, bro.
I would say, I would say picking.
Yes, Matt. You know, yes.
I spent a lot of time looking at like email open rates and stuff like that. I would say, like, you know, go on a night that's in your favor. Like a Monday night, no one's really that thirsty. But like you get into like Thursday, she's trying to make some weekend plans. Like that feels more apropos.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I was pretty pumped.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my friend was. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
All right. We'll take a break here. We'll come back with some emails. What's Matt and then the cop topic?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, thank you to all our sponsors, and again, big thank you to everybody that came out to Muckleshoot Casino on Saturday. That was a ton of fun. Boys, when I was doing Fight for Your Right, they shot off smoke.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like the cannons?
Yeah, on the side of the stage. I didn't know they had that. It's like Mike did his song, and he got some. I was like, hope I get some. And then it happened, and you know me. I'm like on stage in between lyrics, and I go, there's the smoke.
I love some good pyrotechnics.
I will say this, just because people might enjoy this. It is kind of weird. You do that thing at the Muckle Shoot, right? You're on stage, I'm signing autographs, taking photos. Like, I am freaking cool. And then it's like, you go to your local bar, and I was like, what have you been up to today? I was like, I was just on stage being like a rock star. Yeah, all right, cool. What do you want?
Like, I was famous. I signed an autograph. I signed a woman's chest.
Yeah, exactly. I signed a boob, man. Like, I was somebody like 3 hours ago. You should have seen me.
That's awesome. And humbling.
Right. Mr. Cobb, let's rally. If you can you handle this email?
Addiction. So many people in my world are addicted to online shopping with free, quote unquote, two-day shipping and the small dopamine hit with that instant gratification. I've been actively trying to reduce and cut back on my online shopping. If I actually need something, then I can spend the time to find it in a brick and mortar store. Also, Cobb, I love when you grab a top thread from today's Ask Reddit for your topic. Gotta add Reddit to your social media blocking app, my man. August, I love that you said that because A, I get a lot of them from there. And B, I just upgraded my little social media blocking app. Today I paid for it. I was on the free plan forever. I paid for it and it blocked Reddit without me asking it to. And I was like, oh, snap. Like, now I'm deep in the vault. Like, you cannot open anything. Like, I was even trying to check on like some Facebook ads I was running. Not a chance, dude. You got to turn off your blocker. Like, it's crazy. So, yeah. Actually, now that I think about it, well, no, it's not running right now, so I can still grab a good topic. But yeah, they have good ones in there. Sometimes I usually just like look at the replies and whatever and kind of get like a gauge for it. I feel like they're about like a 50% hit rate versus if I come up with them from my own life, it's like about 70%. But like, nothing worse than when you throw one out and you get zero emails like by, you know, Thursday, and I'm just like, all right, well, going to be a tough email segment next week.
Well, it's tough too. It's like, what if you just had like just a god awful day or something, right? Like fighting with the wife for no reason, something bad happens at work. Like at that point, the only question you want to cop topic, why are you sad? Right. But like, you can't do that.
Well, and also, we've done almost 500 of them.
Yeah.
Like, in all fairness, like I used to get very heady and like very like esoteric. And I'm like, all right, bro, if you were the last drop of oatmeal, like in the bottom of the bowl. It's just like, dude, too much. Like, just keep it simple. Because people also would respond with like these narratives, like multi pages. And I would like start reading them. And I'm just like, this is awesome, but I can't use this at all on the air.
That is funny. I was talking to somebody on Saturday and they were talking about like a family member that had been sick, but you know, like basically like they were there that day, they were still having fun, and they were like, I was like, can they, like, is that all right, they're drinking? They're like, yeah, that's what it was. I was talking to a hospice nurse and I was telling the story about how my dad hadn't drank in years. When he was in hospice, he asked my uncle, like, let me get a beer. So yeah. My uncle's one of those guys, right? Like, he's always got a little cooler in the trunk. So they grab him and they're like being pretty sneaky, and like the one nurse sees him and is like, like, don't get hammered in there. But like, she's like, we don't care. Like he's in hospice. Like, he's dying.
Yeah. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah. Right.
We have heroin over there on the counter.
Right. So that's what I was going to go with. So I told her that story and we started laughing, and she was like, yeah, like, I see it all. She goes, this is what I do every day. Like, who cares? Let him be happy. And I go, yeah. I go, if I find out a meteor's hitting the earth and there's like only days left, like, I am shooting heroin.
Oh yeah. I'll be right there with you. People say, actually, I don't want to promote it in any way, but I'll say this line that I heard, which is, it feels like 1,000 orgasms. And I've never forgotten that. I'm like, okay, maybe when I'm 92, laid up in bed, like, you know what? Hit me with the big one.
Right. Did you ever see that movie? God damn it.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Am I thinking of the right one with Steve Carell?
No. I don't think that is the same movie. Let me try.
Little Miss Sunshine. Maybe that was it.
Oh, that was a great movie too.
With Steve Carell is like a serious character, but like there's like the granddad in the movie, and that's the whole thing. He's just snorting heroin. And he's like, what do I care? He's like, I'm in my 70s. I have cancer. Like, I'm dying.
Yeah. And honestly, like, you can't fault him for it. Like, yeah, that tracks, man. Like, do you. And it's kind of crazy too, not to promote drug use on this podcast, not that we have it before, but you think about, like, you know, I had an acquaintance pass away a couple of weeks ago. I think we talked about it on here. And it's like, you know, he was 41, and it's like, you kind of just never know when your time is going to be. And so I do think, not with drugs necessarily, but just in general, like, you never know when you should just kind of, you know, carpe that deal.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough thing, right? As we were like, live every day like it's your last. It's like, well, I can't do that because there's a good chance I'm going to live for another 40 years.
Yeah, but not also, every day. Like, save some money for retirement.
But right, sometimes it is kind of nice to be like, oh, screw it, let's go do that. Mm-hmm. All right, well, I think I have an idea what he was watching at night, but let's check in with What's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Before we get to What's Matt,
what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Check out with What's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Madden?
Before we get to What's Maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's Madden?
Whoa. Check out with What's Maddening.
Yeah, it was a big weekend, man. I guess, you know, obviously we talked about live streaming Coachella, and I'm gonna do that again next weekend with Carson the lawyer. So nice. You know, it's really fun. I'm glad I went last year, so I kind of know the lay of the land and everything. But it's just an interesting vibe around town when Coachella hits. Like, we went down to Keedy's and got there. What time did Bryson and Rory tee off? So we got there about 11 because we watched the first couple holes at Keedy's. And, you know, by the time we left, you could see people trickling in with the wristbands, right? But before 11, I don't think anyone from Coachella was at Keedy's yet, because they're up till 2 in the morning the night before with Travis Scott or whatever. So,
all right, that was my question. Did any of them look, just have that look of their eye of like, oh, you're hurting?
Yeah. Yeah. The guy that was coming out of the bathroom when I was going into the bathroom, there was just this moment of like eye contact. And I was just like, I've been there. I know exactly where you're at right now, bro.
I mean, I had that moment.
Yeah.
Oh, I had that moment probably 4 times at the airport in Vegas. And just, you just see dudes and their deadhead stuff. Just like, yeah, man, I'm feeling it too. my mind's tired.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, there's like an effect around town. And one of the other effects is that downtown Palm Springs is like empty, because everybody that's in the valley is down on the other end in Indio for the festival. So we went out to Palm Springs on Sunday, and there's another one of the Desert X exhibitions that we hadn't been to yet, because like last time it was like a mile hike where it was stationed to go both ways. We were like, dude, it's hot, it's windy out there. Like, it said it's gonna move around, so let's just wait till it's at a more accessible location. And it's this like old V-dub Vanagon that's just super futuristic. Like, the whole thing's like mirrored chrome, and it's got all these like crazy things on the trailer. I mean, it was sick. It's called Ghost Ride, if you look it up on desertx.org. And so we went and checked that out, and that was super cool. I got a buddy that's all about Vanagon life. I actually have two buddies. They're brothers. But one's more like, you know, into it. His is like campable and everything. So sent him some pictures of it. And then we went to downtown Palm Springs. I mean, literally, like, the spot was in one of the most populated lots that's like always the first to fill up, like Cobb, you know, about Thursday night, the street fair.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, just, it's still the season down here. But like, we went right to one of the main lots and got the spot right next to the handicap spot. Like, that's how close to the restaurant we were able to park on a beautiful Sunday evening in April. Like, when that's the pro move, is to go to downtown Palm Springs while everyone's at the festival, because you just have like the whole place to yourself. Obviously, no wait. at the restaurant. Like, we just walk right in, sit down.
I like that.
Yeah. And you know, got the chips and salsa going. Is a Mexican restaurant called Maracas. If you're ever downtown, we really.
I've been to Maracas.
Yeah, yeah. It was awesome. And so yeah, that was Sunday. PD's, Desert X, Maracas. Might have been something else in there. Maybe I ran an errand or something. But yeah, most of that day was just watching the Masters. Tyler was a good sport about it. And yeah, it was just like so epic watching Rory finally seal the deal for the career Grand Slam, and just total roller coaster of a final Sunday. I mean,
yeah, it was crazy. I got up early, watched the F1 race, and like blatantly took a nap, and then I got up and I was like, holy cat, this was on 18. I was like, I thought he had this thing wrapped up. And then you go to that extra hole. I was like, oh, this is good.
Yeah.
And then it was only like, what, like 4:30 or 5. So, I mean, I watched most of it. And then, yeah, it was nice out. So I was like, maybe today's the day you grill a couple hot dogs, go up to my grocery store. And I have it literally in my cart. I had a 6-pack of beer, like a bag of chips, like hot dog rolls. And I run into Thrill and his wife. And she's holding hot dogs, bag of chips. And I was like, did everybody come up here to get hot dogs? I was like, yeah. And I was like, all right. And she said the same thing to me. She goes, I'm not a huge hot dog person, but it's nice out. I go, I feel you. I was like, it was almost 70 degrees. Like, everybody I knew was like, we got to do something today. And I was like, kind of done being social after Saturday. But I was like, I could still grill some dogs.
Can always grill a couple dogs. Right. That's awesome.
I love that. The other thing that happened, it was technically on Thursday. I went to the driving range with my buddy Max, who I've talked about on here quite a bit. And he's like just getting into golf. Like he's not ready to play. He's just ready to go to the range with me and hit some balls and figure it out. And I give him a couple simple little pointers and he gets better. But it was I thought they closed like when the sun went down. We get there, it's like an hour before sunset or whatever. We go through a large bucket and we find out it's open till 9 and they have lights. And we're like, oh dude, we can get another bucket. And then like just a gaggle of Cella girls shows up. And they're all like young and you know, like couple stalls behind us. But it had also happened before that, there's a dude that showed up like kind of right next to us that on the far side of the range, people were hitting balls towards us and we were hitting them towards them, but usually they hit in the middle. But like one of those or a couple of those kids, like they were banging their drives and they started rolling up on us. And Max is like, oh, we got ops. We got to get our ops. And I'm like, dude, I'm not trying to rip driver trying to clear the other side of the range. I got these new irons I'm trying to figure out. And this dude shows up and he's like, what the f-? Like someone hit a ball kind of right at him. And he's like, we're like, dude, we got ops on the other side, dude. It's war is brewing. And he's like, oh, f- that I'm warming up with driver. And he just starts like wailing. He's got a swing on him.
Tell me he's just launching balls over there.
Yeah. And then the guy comes and talks to him. And I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm going to hit driver too. Like I'm here for my irons, but like, I got to go after our ops on the other side, dude. Like, and so we're all getting into it. And the guy from the pro shop comes out and starts talking to the guy, Eric. And I'm like, why isn't he talking to me? I'm hitting driver too. Like you're not reaching the other side, dipshit.
Yeah. Right. Yours are not getting over there. Not close enough.
Yeah. So after all this happens, we realize like, oh, there's lights. We could stay. They're open till 9. I'm like, dude, Max. So Eric, I got his number. We're going to play this summer. Really cool guy. He's also black and he's blaring country music through his Bluetooth speaker. So it's like, it's a whole vibe there. And I'm like, Max, should we get another bucket? He's like, dude, we got sluts and a black Republican. We're definitely getting another bucket of balls. yo, yo, that's my other friend's thing. Like, he emailed, so I had to send George a picture and be like, dude, it's on out here.
Well,
man.
I gotta ask, why were the chicks like, do they not have tickets that night? That seems odd. They're just
it was Thursday.
Oh, it was Thursday. Okay, I see. Yeah. So they were there, but it hadn't started yet.
Yeah. And so then we decide we're getting another bucket. I still have like 8 balls on my tray, but Max is out. So we're kind of waiting behind those chicks. And they push the button on the machine to dispense the balls. They did not put a bucket underneath.
Oh, so rookie mistake.
Classic.
You're just like, ladies, try a basket.
Yeah. I didn't want to embarrass. I was just like, I'm going to go finish my balls. I'll come back after this is dealt with.
Yeah, I'll let you guys clean that up.
Dude, if people have never been to a driving range, you'd be like getting a bag of ice, but there's not of an ice machine, but you don't have the bag underneath it. Like, those balls just shoot out and go everywhere.
And it's concrete. They're just flying bouncing every direction.
Oh, yeah. Especially if you got like the big, you know, hit the large button.
Yeah. Oh, it was too funny, man. So that was just like the most insane driving range experience. It was so fun because I just thought it was just going to be like me and Max just hanging out, you know, chasing daylight. And, you know, once the sun goes down, we're done. And then we got a whole extra large bucket. And I mean, it was a party with Eric playing the music. I was ripping those new irons. Like, I was on fire. I didn't even like notice the chicks because I was just so dialed in, but like I was expecting a very tame Thursday night, and next thing you know, Eric's just blasting country tunes and there's like 6 chicks that I don't, you know, they didn't look like locals, I'll tell you that much.
They're from Southern California.
To the lovely local ladies of the Coachella Valley, of course.
Right. Well, most of them are just over 50.
Right.
Respectfully. Yeah.
Respectfully. But yeah. I mean, built nice, but like, you're not in your 20s.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, boop. Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
Dad, you should have seen her in 93.
At that poison show?
Dude, nice. Oh, man. So for some reason, somebody just like put together that I'm from Washington the other day, somebody I know fairly well. And he was like, hey, man, you ever do you root for like, who do you root for up there? Do you like the Dogs? And I was like, for some reason, apropos of nothing, I was like, oh, yeah. I was up there tailgating a baseball game in the parking lot 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
Like,
nice.
A baseball game? And it was like, you could see it just kind of like broke his brain. I was like, let's move on. Like, I shouldn't have even mentioned
it. I mean, you went to the Natty.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, that's what I should have said. Like, oh, yeah, I went to the Natty. All right. So
do you like when we the Huskies? Were... Yeah, baseball.
Yeah, exactly. Baseball in the rain. All right. So when we were in Paris, the running joke was we were like, you know, we're going to like, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do, right? Like, we're going to go full Parisian. Like, at some point I'm going to smoke a cigarette. And so like, that's what we kept talking about. And we're like, oh, is now the right time. We had some friends there and stuff. We're like, oh, should we step outside of the club and smoke a cigarette? So we planned to the whole time. We never ended up doing it. And I've never smoked a cigarette in my life, which usually shocks people because I ran a chain of smoking lounges, hookah lounges for people who are unfamiliar, as my first job. It was a chain in Seattle called the Cobra Lounge. We had 3 of them and we ran that for like 9 years, I think. And so anyway, it's kind of shocking that I've never smoked a cigarette. So the cop topic this week, what's a normal thing that you've never done and people are always shocked when they find out? Feel free to email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com. What's a normal thing that you've never done and people are always shocked when they find out? Boys?
Ooh. Yeah, that's kind of a good one. I'm trying to think. Like, I mean, it's easier to say stuff locally.
That works.
I mean, even just the other day, it's kind of small, but I was on the air talking about sandwiches. And somebody was just like, well, the best is Paseo. And I was like, I've never been. And people were just like, you've never been? I'm like, no. I'm like, wow. I'll tell you, you know, I'll be like, you got to go to Colazzi's and Soto for a cheesesteak or Tats for the Tats drama. And I was like, I've been here a long time. I've been here 20 years. Just never made it in there.
Dude, that's crazy. Have you ever had it at that tailgate that your friend has where they like bring them?
No, that guy's never there when I've been. I go to a lot of games.
Oh my God. Yeah. It really is something else. I know you've heard, but like it is a very different kind of sandwich, and just each ingredient is so succulent and special that it really, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Definitely worth your time.
Yeah. That. And then I'd say when I tell people about the college football tailgate tour, everybody's like, so how was Notre Dame? And I'm like, we've never been. And they're just like, what? Isn't that like, I'm like, yeah, you're right. I know. We got to go to a game in South Bend. Like, that's like, you know, one of those things.
Oh, yeah. Even I've tailgated a game in South Bend. Shout out Touchdown Jesus.
Yeah. My one cousin went, did you know? And he was like, Teddy, it was unbelievable. Like, really? He's like, he goes, I know you hate Notre Dame football, but you would have died and gone to heaven. Like, he's like, it's like you step back in time.
Yeah, same. And the thing is, you know, it's in South Bend, Indiana. Like, there is nothing going on. Every single person knows about that game and is going to or is participating in that game. So it's kind of cool when you're in kind of like an off market town like that, and it just shuts everything down. I mean, Notre Dame football, at least out there, is a big deal.
Yeah, and my uncle was telling me there's like 2 days of like events.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I went to a chalk talk with one of the defensive coaches on Friday night before the game. He's like, and they tell you some of the schemes they're running. So he's like, when you're at the game, you see the other offense line up and the guys adjusting. He's like, oh, they're calling this play.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah, I was like, that's pretty cool. Because it's like, yeah, like you can't videotape it or anything. He's like, it's only nerdy people, you know, like right. Just like, oh, let's see what the defense is going to run tomorrow.
Dude, that's actually crazy. I watched that documentary on the Michigan sign stealer guy. And like, yeah, they would get any informational edge they could, including going to a chalk talk.
Right. How'd you phrase the question again, Cobb?
What's a normal thing that you've never done that people are always shocked when they find out?
Okay. I got one. But the thing I was thinking about was like, a lot of times it's people being shocked that I do eat the food I eat on a regular basis. Like when some of my coworkers are like, you eat Chick-fil-A? I'm like, love it. It's so good. What are you talking about? Like, of course I eat Chick-fil-A and In-N-Out. But the one thing I've never, it's normal in my world. I don't know. It's overhyped as a solution. I think in a lot of cases it's got some value, but I've never counted calories.
Nice. Like,
that is such a normal thing in the fitness and nutrition world. And I've never had any interest in it. I've never needed to. And people are just shocked, and like clients will come like, well, I need to count my calories. I read this thing online. I'm like, I can't help you. I've never done that myself. Like, I could tell you the basics, but I don't have any practice. I think it's going to suck within like 3 days. You're going to be like, this is an awful idea. And yeah, I just think, they're like, well, what do I do? I'm like, eat more real foods, like high protein and fruits and vegetables. And they're like, that's it? I'm like, that's all I've ever done, man. Like, I want to keep it simple for myself more than I want to keep it simple for you, but I'm really into this and I keep it that simple for myself.
Yep. The best diet's the one you stick to, man. Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? We say it all the time. Like, whatever works for whoever, like, okay, that works for you, stick with it.
Sounds like after this episode, Ted and I are going on the heroin diet. Not till we're in our 90s.
I did see today, I read an article that said, like, are the influencers changing? Do we not care as much because of that dude a couple weeks ago that posted his like morning routine with like washing his face? And they like basically they were just saying there was so much backlash and people like f***ing with him and busting his chops. They were like, maybe it doesn't have the same influence it used to. I was like, also, like, I don't know. Like, if you want to get up that early, go ahead. I didn't even know who that guy was. Like, you read Wahlberg, you're like, all right, at least I know who Mark Wahlberg is.
Yeah, I feel like I take issue with people always give the advice, like, you got to get up early. And it's like, I feel like that's totally wrong. I happen to wake up early naturally, but I think really you got to, like, let your body get as much sleep as it needs. You know, like, your body's going to tell you, like, maybe you're a night person. Those people get just as much done as morning people. It's just at a different time. And so I feel like it's always weird when people are like, you got to get up early. That being said, I'll caveat that with, I've never met a loser that works out at 6 a.m. every day.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you said that last week, and I was like, everybody that works out at 6 a.m. can't be that cool. Like, I'm sure he's like very fit, but like, he might also just suck.
Yeah.
He's going to be successful. True. Doesn't mean I want to be friends with them.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Not the coolest people.
Oh, man. All right. Speaking of resting and taking time off, we will not be here next week. I have some time off, so I'm going to go hit Leavenworth for a few days, and then, I don't know, I might even drive out to the shore. Try to early dip. We have a hot tub next to a river. So, Matt, I think me and Rob are going to hot cold it at least a couple times.
Get that plunge in. That river's cold as hell, too.
Oh,
I think it's Icicle Creek or one of the – I mean, yeah, damn.
Yeah, that's – we'll see when we get there. We'll see how she's raging.
You know, I'm glad I can just say I'll be there in spirit, and I won't actually have to be there with my body.
Yeah. It was easier years ago with the cabin we got where we could just lay in the snow.
Yeah.
It feels good when you're done, though, I got to say. It'll be worth it.
All right, well, if I don't see you boys, happy Easter, by the way.
Happy Easter. Yeah, Sunday.
Yeah, get in, losers. We're going for ham.
Shout out to Jesus.
Way to rise up, dog. All right. From CTP, for Colin B. Ted Smith, this is the podcast. Cheers.